Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the GRAMMA AG conference call regarding the Q3 results. At this time, all participants have been placed in a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Ralf Hoppe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome from Hamburg. This is our conference call regarding our Q3 results. Our CFO, Mr. Cordonnier, will present to you the highlights of the first nine months of this year. After his presentation, as usual, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. Okay, Gérard, Cordonnier, s'il vous plaît.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Before I start the presentation that you could get on internet, I want to make a summary on the first nine months of this year, 2018, which was very, very special, and is very special for the GRAMMA Group. First of all, the GRAMMA Group showed a mixed performance, as you see in the first nine months of the business year, with challenges in the automotive business and ongoing dynamics development in the commercial vehicle segment. We had a solid and stable performance of the group operating EBIT, with a margin of 4.2% in the first three quarters of 2018, slightly below the level of the operating performance in 2017. IFRS results were significantly impacted by one-time expenses, mainly due to the takeover of Nimbo Jifeng. As expected, we saw volatility in the business volume for the automotive division, especially at the end of the third quarter, but it was more than compensated by the very strong development of the commercial vehicle revenue in the first nine months of 2018. So that was the general overview. And now, when we go in the different presentation chart, I will review the following comments. On page two, on the GRAMMA Group level, for the market development, we see first an overall car, truck, and other commercial vehicle market, again, recording increasing sales number in the first nine months of 2018, but with a significantly higher monthly volatility. In the passenger car, we see new registration in Germany of +2%, with SUVs, sport car, and upper class model driving growth. Western Europe, with solid growth, +1%. U.S., stable, ±0%, driven by light truck segment, +8%. China, with an increase of 1% based on a strong SUV sales. Excuse me, I am a little bit cold. The noticeable market disturbances and extreme volatility caused by the introduction of the VLTP testing in Europe and trade conflicts between U.S. and China forced many OEMs and suppliers to downgrade their business forecast for 2018, like you read the last weeks and days in the newspapers. So that was on the passenger cars. In the trucks, Western Europe, with an overall stable development of +2%. U.S., with ongoing dynamics growth momentum, +18%, mainly driven by strong heavy-duty Class 8 segment. Recovery in Brazil, what is very good for us, is continuing in the first nine months, +52%, but coming from a very low basis. China, with sideways trend, ±0% in the first nine months. Concerning the other commercial vehicles market, all other important markets like agriculture, machinery, construction machinery, and material handling, are continuing with very, very strong growth rate as in the previous year. Now, let's speak about figures. If we look on the page number three, we see the development for the first nine months of the corporate. To remember you, we are end of September, and that's without our acquisition of TMD. Yes, because the figure, we start to consolidate TMD from the first of October on. So if you look first on the left side, our group revenue, you see that we reach 1,359.2 million. That mean an increase of 1.5% or an FX adjusted an increase of 3.7%. If we look now on the right side of our EBIT and operating EBIT, you see first the operating EBIT totally on the right side. You see that we achieve 56.6 million. That means 4.2%. That means approximately the level of last year where we achieved 58.6 and plus 4.4%. If we look now on our EBIT, IFRS EBIT, you see there a big decrease. That means that however, at 27.9 million, the group IFRS EBIT fell substantially short of last year's figures of 45.8 million euros. Earnings were mainly influenced by typical non-recurring transaction costs arising in connection with the acquisition of Gramer AG by JAI Auto Parts GmbH, an entity affiliated with our strategic partner, Nippon Jifeng, and also in connection with the successful takeover of Toledo Molding and Die Inc., that means TMD, by Gramer. Other non-recurring exceptional expense arose in connection with the departure of the member of the executive board, as well as the expenditure on the closure of the Gramer development facility. The closure of Gramer development facility in Langenfeld, Germany. That means that's mainly one-time impact. If we look now on the page four, our net profit for the first nine months on Gramer Group level, we see that we achieve for the first quarter a level of 14.9. That mean a decrease of 42%, but it's mainly due to first the business in the automotive industry and also the exceptional effect that of 27 million that I mentioned before. Concerning the earnings per share, we are by 1.22 against 2.13 of last year. If we look now on our equity on page five, our equity is first on a level of 305.4. That mean a decrease of 9%, but we are still in a level, I would say 29-30% ratio against 31%. Our net financial debt and gearing on the right side, you see that we increased by 4% from 156.5-163.3, and we have a gearing ratio from 46-53. If we look now on our investment for the first nine months, you see that our CapEx increased by 23% from 40.2-49.4. That means +23%. It represent a percentage ratio from 3-3.6%. The CapEx was mainly increasing, was used to expand our business activities in all region for the upcoming new product launches as planned. Also it include 15 million euro for the construction of the new Gramer Technology Center and group headquarters in Uerdingen near Amberg. When you look on our CapEx by division, there you see exactly the point. That means 90% was in the commercial vehicle, 48% in automotive, and 33% in the central services. That means in this part of central services, you find the 15 million for the Gramer Technology Center. On page seven, you see further on Gramer Group level, our headcount development. You see that our headcount increase, I could say, or is stable from 12,759 to 12,830. That means plus 71 employees against last year at the same time. And the split between best cost and high cost, you see, it's always very stable. That means approximately 30% in high cost country and 71 in best cost country, or 70%. So when we look now in the different divisions, first of all, the automotive divisions for the first 9 months, what are the sales in the EBIT? On page 8, and on the left you have the revenue or the sales, and you see that we had a decrease from 973.9 to 942.7. That mean a decrease from 3.2%. That means this lower revenue in the automotive in the first 9 months of 2018 triggered by the sustained decline towards the end of the third quarter, caused by the intensified and partially still ongoing slump in sales in the European car market in particular. In addition, and as a result of numerous series changeover and the corresponding timing difference on phase down and subsequent rent ups, revenue decline in the NAFTA region, but it's mainly in Europe. The lower volume compared to 2017 result in lower labor productivity and also lower process efficiency. The uncovered development and project costs impacted on operating performance of the automotive division. Comprehensive action plans are in place to make up the shortfall of the boost productivity and efficiency in the automotive division. It's clear that we cannot accept such a decrease. You see that we are going from 33.1 to 24.6, that means in percentage from 3.4 to 2.6%. And in operating EBIT, and that's not the way that we want. But you know the point concerning volume impact and also a lot of new ramp up. If we look now on the order intake, that's I would say very good news. The order intake is, you remember when I speak about order intake, it's not the sales of 1 year, it's the sales in 2 years and then for the next 6 or 7 years. That means the total model lifetime of the project. That means if you look for the year 2017 for 12 months, we reach 1 billion 50, and that with in this 1 billion 50, it was German premium OEMs about 60% shares, and last year at the same time, end of September, we had only 770 million, and of which the premium German OEMs 60%. This year, for the first 9 months, we get order for 1 billion 150, of which 45% by the German premium OEM. These have two positive impacts. The first, our goal to reach this year 1.5 billion, we are on the right way, and that would be a record year when we achieve it. That means till now, Gramor achieved approximately 1.3 billion at highest 2 years ago, and this year our goal was approximately around 1.5, and we are on the right way. And also, where we are in the right way is to see that you see on the right side that we have our customer portfolio is changing and more diversified in the automotive. That means we have 45% by the German premium OEM and 55% by other OEMs. And when you look on Europe, 45% of the order are in Europe, 30% in America, and 25% in Asia Pacific. And again, this without Rheum. That means this year, again, like I have also said last year, we are again focusing on expanding our business with new customers in region outside Europe, because the growth is coming from these regions. So now for the commercial vehicle, the first 9 months was very strong performance, and also internally, and but also from outside from the market. What we saw in on the page 10, you see first the revenue, and the revenue increased from 397.8 million to 456.0. That means plus 14.6%. I would say that this is driven by rising sales volume in nearly all core markets, as well as the nascent recovery in Brazil in the first 9 months 2018. The commercial vehicle posted a considerable increase of 14.6 in the total 9 months. We had in general favorable market condition in all region and market segment, as well as in the growth of our margin. And that's what you see on the right side, our EBIT and operating EBIT. We improve it. You see that in operating EBIT we are going from 34.3 to 43.5. That means in percentage from 8.6 to 9.5%. That means that's a good trend, I would say. And in the IFRS EBIT, we are going from 32.7 to 44.2. Okay, that means we are on the right track there. What's now very important, we have still one quarter, and how will happen the rest of the year? What is our outlook? The outlook first from the market, you see on the page 11 that from the car production, in general, the world will increase by 1%, will continue to grow. You see also that Europe is plus minus stable, US decreased by 2%, but Brazil increased by 10% on a low basis, and China further increased by 2%. That means we have further a growth. When we look on the truck registration, you see that we have for the world plus 2%, of which plus 1% in Europe, plus 15% in the US, plus 35% in Brazil, and minus 10% in China. But in China, I would say we have a totally, we are coming from nothing. That means for us, we are further increasing in our figures. Agriculture and machinery, what our customer is saying, that mainly we are further growing in Europe from 5 to 10, in the US, also in Brazil, and in China plus minus 0. And that's approximately what our customers say. Further good market in the fourth quarter. Oh, yeah. The construction machinery, also there, the demand stay strong. And in Brazil, we have a slow recovery. Okay, now, what is our outlook? You know, after our ad hoc several weeks ago, we have said that we will give you a new outlook, and that the new outlook that we want to tell you. And what is the point? The point is that in the light of the current macroeconomic situation with mounting trade restrictions, volatile conditions in world markets resulting from this and the increasingly complex political situation, we assess the outlook for the Gramma Group in 2018 as slightly negative as a whole. With the effect of the first-time consolidation of the TMD Group in the fourth quarter 2018 and assuming more or less unchanged FX rates, we now project only a slight increase in group revenue to around 1.85 billion in 2018. That's what you look in the dark blue figures. Our operating results, the second point, is that operating profit will be influenced by the continuing market-induced decline in revenue in the automotive divisions, excluding TMD, in the fourth quarter, and the pressure from the related additional costs from the still ongoing expansion and optimization project in segment in the division. On the other hand, we anticipate further earnings growth of the commercial vehicle segment with a larger business volume expected. Also, of course, of consolidation of TMD Group will have a positive effect on margins. That means that you see that we that what we say, it's it was around 5%, our old outlook, and last year we achieved 4.5. And now what we are seeing is slightly below previous year. That means we will be a little bit below 4.5%. I think that's not surprising. You hear this for the automotive company. In view of the significant exceptional expense arising in 2018, primarily in connection with the acquisition of the company by an entity affiliated with our strategic partner Nimbo Jifeng, we expect the Gramma Group to post substantial EBIT of around around 50 million euro in absolute terms, with operating profitability failing slightly short about of the previous year, what I just said. That means in absolute value we will be in the IFRS EBIT by 50 million around it. We therefore expect ROCE, which is being used as a performance indicator for the first time in 2018, to drop slightly below the figure of 11.5 in 2017. I can no more speak. I am also at the end. But you see what are our new outlook and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Coroné. Now I'm going to take over from here. Now we are ready for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel the question, press 9* again. So please press 9* now to pose a question. And the first question comes from Christian Ludwig from Bankhaus Lampe.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, loud and clear, Christian.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Well, first of all, I would like to take the opportunity and thank Mr. Colonier for his time with us, as I assume this is your last call. Mr. Colonier, I'm sorry that you're so sick. Well, thank you very much for the cooperation. I enjoyed working with you. Secondly, then, to the question part. First of all, I'd like to get some more information on the TMD acquisition. Could you elaborate a little bit more what kind of sales and earnings impact it will have for this year? And then also looking into next year, what roughly the numbers should be for next year? And is there any PPA that we have to consider that will also become applicable after the acquisition? Second question also on TMD is basically on the financing. If my numbers are right, I did a rough estimation, we're looking at a net debt at year end of 380 million, which gives you a net debt EBITDA of north of 3.5 times. That is not exactly something that I would call comfortable, and I know you only have a bridge financing, so what are you doing to get this financing in, let's say, a more smoother area? And the last question is on your order intake. If the numbers you've given us for the 9 months basically are extrapolated towards the full year, I would come out at roughly 690 million for the German premium OEMs, which is barely a 10% growth year over year, which kind of indicates to me at least that the Germans are not have not come back to the table giving you the orders that you were used to in the past. So is there here a structural change that after all the hiccups with the Hustlers and the Tegel Chinese, that we have to assume that the Germans will not never be as even in absolute terms, as large as they used to be in the past? Thank you.
Okay, Christian, thank you very much for your questions. I would like to start with the first one, TMT impact. As you know, for 2018, we only have one quarter of impact, so we assume a sales impact of around 70 to 75 million euros in one quarter. That gives you an annual amount of around 300 million euros per year. So we assume for next year between 300 and 350 million euros in revenue from the TMD transaction or acquisition or integration, whatever you want to call it. Regarding the profitability, you know, we don't want to talk about in detail about profitability numbers, but you know, we acquired TMD also to improve our overall profitability, to come close or to have a chance, a realistic chance to reach our profitability target of 7% in 2021. That means that this TMD, the impact of TMD will definitely be in line with our overall profitability target.
That means it will be higher than 7%. It has to contribute to. Concerning...
But we also have to include a couple of PPA depreciation impact in next year. So we assume, based on preliminary figures, but don't quote me on that, we are still running the final numbers, of course. We are assuming between 1.5 and 2 million per quarter of PPA for that transaction.
But we will, in any case, about 7%. Because they have to contribute, inclusive the PPA, to our global goals. Concerning the financing now, what you have calculated, I would say everybody is calculated, and our banks also, and we are calculating it also, what will be our indebtedness and our ratio. And I can only say you one thing. We will not be at the level that you say, at 3.5. We will be around of 3.
Okay.
But I must say also, it will be around of 3 for a short time. That means it's clear that when you are in the first quarter of acquisition, and do you make total external acquisition, that you have the full impact in the fourth and the second quarter. That means NTMD is cash rich. That means that will have an impact also on next year.
Okay. Next question was regarding our order intake. I would like to answer this as the follows. First of all, when you look at the total number, we definitely see a positive development and a significant improvement compared to last year, meaning that we are basically back on track, back on normal track regarding our order intake from all of our customers. This is very important, including the German premiums as well. As you know, Christian, our strategy was always to also increase the share of other customers, other compared or in comparing our German premium. So in our strategy, we always wanted to have more business with, for example, a Volvo, Jaguar, Land Rover, the North American Big Three. That is a normal process. Of course, we had to push ahead with this strategic approach because of the situation of last year. But overall, we are definitely back to normal project acquisition business. And also don't forget, you cannot compare year over year or quarter by quarter because it really depends on the projects to be awarded by the OEMs. So maybe in 2017, for example, or 2016, more significant portion of German OEM projects have been awarded compared to 2018. So it's not a real one-to-one comparison you can do here.
So let me then rephrase my question. Do you have the impression that your relationship with the German OEMs is back to the 2015 level?
Totally. That means totally since our shareholder structure has been become more stable and like it is, we have full support of our German customer like it was in the past.
Yes, the German customers really appreciate the stabilization of the shareholder structure by our major anchor shareholder Ningbo Qifeng, which is also a highly highly appreciated supplier in the automotive industry.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mark Chon from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hey, yes, good afternoon. There's a couple of questions from my side, if I may. First one would be on the outlook for the fourth quarter, and I think you mentioned the expectations you have, particularly for the passenger car market, based on what VDA is saying. I think the recent data we have is that things appear to be even worse than what might have been the expectation in September. Perhaps you can give us some indication on how you regard visibility in the fourth quarter, and whether you could give us any indication how the October worked for you, and what you see in terms of Christmas breaks at your customers, and how much of a catch up potential we should think about in the first half of next year, if any. So if there is some kind of stabilization. Secondly, and also related to that, I think in general we see a certain deceleration of economic growth globally, and we've seen this very, very successful year for commercial vehicles in 2018. Also, that would be my question. How long is your visibility there? How should we think about this going forward? Is there something we should expect to continue developing that favorable for, let's say, the next half year, the next 9 months, or is it also there that visibility is a bit more limited? And the third one would be perhaps on the operating leverage in automotive, particularly when we now look at it on a sequential basis. And I think you alluded on that already, that yes, there was a decline in revenues, but the decline in EBIT was pretty significant too. So some indication, was it just ramp up costs and volume, or was there anything like mix included as well, or any special effects we should be aware of? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'll try to answer the question. First of all, Q4 outlook for the automotive business. We assume, and the October numbers confirm this trend basically, that the development we've seen at the end of the summer month, so meaning August, September, with an sales impact for us of around -5%, will also continue in the remaining months of this year. So also for Q4, we expect something in the automotive core business, meaning without TMD, this is important, of around -5%. Volatility will be high next year, so we do not exactly know if there's a big catch-up potential in the first quarter next year. So I think we have to wait and see, because you know that the volatility is increasing basically month by month.
And I think the decrease of the sales that we saw in the third quarter is also going further in the same level, but not further decrease, but in the same level in the fourth quarter. And therefore, we make also this ad hoc on our results for the year.
Commercial vehicle business, you are right. It's been a very successful year in 2018. We see so far strong double-digit growth in the total commercial vehicle business, plus 15%. The growth in Q4 will not be as significant because we had a very strong Q4 last year already. So the incremental growth won't be as high as the average of year to date, January to September. But again, here overall for the full year, we also expect a growth of more than 10% for the full year 2018. Next year, we don't see any significant signs that there will be a downswing in the commercial vehicle business overall. Construction business is still booming. Material handling business, logistics business is still booming. And also agricultural business is still on a high level. However, of course, the growth rates will not be repeated in 2019 compared to 2018. So So our expectations, we see a stable business on a very high level for 2019, but not with an additional double-digit growth in 2019 for our commercial vehicle business.
Don't forget, in global for Grama, in the fourth quarter, we will add also TMD for the first time for a quarter. And next year, for the whole year, we will have three quarters more than this year.
And your last question regarding automotive operational leverage. Besides the lower volumes, which results obviously in lower utilization rates, bringing your fixed cost impact, we still are faced with higher material costs, especially in the plastics area and steel area, and also still suffering a little bit from higher uncovered R&D and project costs regarding our efforts to catch up the lack of orders we've seen last year. So this is also a little bit of an impact.
Perfect.
Hope this answered everything.
Yeah, thank you very much. And from my side, Mr. Cordonnier, all the best for you. Thank you for all the help and you provided to us in the past years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Michael Punzert from DZ Bank.
Yes, Michael Punzert, good afternoon. I have two questions only left, only for clarification. First one on the 7% margin for TMD. Is that pre-PPA or after PPA? And the second one is on the 7% margin target. You mentioned 2021. So far, I assumed that as a target for 2022. So maybe you can confirm that, please.
So concerning, I start with the last one, it's easier. So 22. That means the 7% that we say is 22. And concerning TMD, what we say with the 7%, it's after PPA.
Okay, thank you, and also from my side, all the best for you, and thanks for the interesting discussions in the past.
Thank you very much.
And there's another question. It comes from Harald Egeling from Otto BHF.
Hello, thank you. Two questions, please. First, could you please elaborate on internal measures, how to deal with volatile call-offs in automotive OE business? Second one is, what is the current status of your capacity utilization commercial vehicle segment? How high should we see it currently, and what are the next steps to expand capacities? Thank you.
So you have exactly the way why we call variable cost. That's for the volatile business. That means variable costs are costs which are adapted to the volume. And therefore, we are very short to the production capacity that we have in the automotive to adapt them to the volume that we have month by month, or the order that we have month by month of 6 weeks by 6 weeks to adapt it. The second point is also for the commercial business. We have adapted to the higher, but that have also limits. Where we are running at 100%, we add special shifts, but the problem is not very often by us, because we are flexible and we can organize ourselves. It's more by our supplier, due to the fact that very often our customer change very quick their order, and our supplier are not so quick enough, as we want to. But in general, we are organized with temporary, with variable system, with shift system to adapt us at the production level.
Okay, one follow-up, please. Will the level of capacity then, is it planned on a regular basis to be higher than 2018 next year?
No. In general, you mean?
For commercial vehicles, your production capacity is on a regular basis without adding additional shifts and so on and so on.
I would say no, but we can get and we get new businesses. I give you two examples that you know very well. It's
the name that I am not allowed to say, that's Caterpillar, yeah? It means it's in the second round-up phase. And also we have Shanxi in China. And in Shanxi in China, we are also producing more and more truck for the Asian market in Middle East. That means that this different things that the market in itself, you can say, not say the market, it's also project that we get that for us an increase in production in capacity will generate for next year.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Currently, there seem to be no more questions, so I would like to repeat, if you want to pose a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions.
Okay. Like you say, it's my last time, and I enjoy it always very much to answer your very interesting and constructive questions. And thank you very much again, and see you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.